I was inside for assaulting a police officer. Funny enough, I've actually been in the care system since I was 8.
Okay. So Claire was describing you in a way when she was talking about people who end up in prison, almost as a rite of passage.
I think that's kind of, it's a valid point. I don't particularly fully agree with it. I mean,
no.
I did start off. You do start off bad times. Just a bit of a hot-headed moment. Police came around and I just thought the better option was to try and swing for him as I did, which got me 6 months inside. But in regards to, I mean, when I was inside, the prison guards that I had were actually quite caring. I don't know if that was because I was young.
Yes.
But then when I was speaking to some of the kind of inmates as well, quite a few of them I was speaking to were kind of planning on what they wanted to do when they got out, whereas a couple of them were kind of just resigned to staying in. They were like, well, I've been out, I've come back. And it was kind of a repeat pattern.
The revolving door. What was your life like before you went in? So were you in work? Were you sort of...
Not really, because I was being to and fro, like, shunted everywhere, really, which was the problem with the care system. I mean, you can go from one home, be there for 2 weeks, and you move again. So it was literally, it was just like a yo-yo here, there, everywhere, really.
And you...
Yeah, go on.
Got out of being inside, you got out... Were you in a youth offenders institute?
Yeah, I was for a few months.
Okay. And did you learn anything in there that helped you when you got released?
To a certain extent, I did. I learned that obviously isn't the path I want to go. No one wants to kind of be a repeat offender, etc. No one wants to kind of end up there with their life. But then it's also kind of the other end of the stick is, well, perhaps people come here because it's more safe. I mean, if I wasn't there, I'd probably be on the street. I mean, at the moment, it's not much better for me right now. It's coming up to Christmas time and everything. And maybe some kids feel, and people my age feel, perhaps prison is a bit of a warmer safe haven.
That is the Rubicon. The gap between your world and mine is so enormous. The idea of prison being preferable to freedom is, it's almost unbelievable. In fact, the only reason I believe it is because you're so credible and convincing. How do you fix that? You can't. I mean, changing the prison system's never going to make any difference to that scenario, is it? It's your life outside that needs improvement, that needs revolution.
Exactly. I mean, it really is. It's kind of a catch-22. I mean, if you are in my kind of situation, or anyone who's in a similar situation to me, there is no winning scenario. I mean, the care system's not great. I struggled at school, so I don't have great grades,
yes,
which then kind of falls back on. So then you kind of sit and you think, well, if I commit a crime, at least I'll be in the safe and warm for perhaps a few months, come back out, and then you're back to square one. You're on the streets, you're cold, and then you've kind of got the same thinking again. Well, perhaps if I do this, I'll go back into being warm. It's literally a roundabout.
And how many of the people you encountered in there were similar to you in terms of what you've just described, in terms of not really having any roots, as it were, and not having a home, even?
Not to name names, but a couple of people that I were with have been the same as me through the care system,
yeah,
and one of them decided that the only reason he keeps coming back is because he's fed up with being outside and cold. He was homeless, didn't have a home, so they thought, if I commit a crime, at least I can come and have a bed, food. It is a catch-22 phase, because you don't know what to do. I mean, being in the care system, you don't really have people to rely on in that respect. So you kind of want to go back, and it's a warm, safe place, unfortunately.
What are you going to do next?
I'm not sure, really, mate.
Where are we now, mate? Where are we now, Tommy? What's going on now? What's the sort of scenario home-wise, and have you got a place to stay?
I've got a good friend, actually. His name's Gareth. He's let me stay for a bit, but I don't know, really. I mean, I'm trying to find a stable job, but no one looks at someone who's not no experience on a CV or the grades.
What sort of work are you looking for?
I did study media. I did kind of, obviously, everyone wants to get into TV, be a cameraman or something. But right now, mate, I'd just do anything, really. It'd be nice to know, be like, get to the 2 years' time, be like, yeah, I own a nice car, I'm in a stable flat, instead of, actually, I'm thinking of going back to prison because I'm fed up of being cold outside and hungry. So...
Leave your details with Beth, will you, mate? Just leave me an email address or something like that. And I don't like saying goodbye to men like you without actually offering something by way of encouragement. And I can't off the top of my head, but leave an email address or something, or your phone number. We've got your phone number. And if anybody has listened to Tommy's story and is intrigued to learn more, then we will, as we always try to do, do our best to make that happen. 10:42 is the time. See, listen to a young man like that. Right, look, I live in a middle-class bubble. I have to choose my words very carefully now. I don't want to patronise anybody. I don't want to sound out of touch or naive or smug. I listen to a young man like that, and I find myself thinking that if the cards I was dealt at birth had been different, how the hell do I know where I'd have ended up? So what should a system be doing to people dealt a hand like Tommy's?